In Luke chapter 18, Jesus tells us of a corrupt judge who didn't care about what anyone had to say, to the point where he would scoff at God himself on the judgment day that awaits us all. And a poor widow who perseveres in asking the judge to render a just judgment against her adversary in court. Because this widow keeps bothering me, I will render a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me. I don't know about you, but like so many of these parables of Jesus, I have so many questions. We kind of assume that the woman was in the right, but what if she wasn't? Just because she was a poor widow, it doesn't follow that she was right. She had an adversary, but what actually happened? Was it a case of true injustice? Or did she just not get what she wanted and was out to destroy the person who crossed her? Why was the judge unwilling to render the decision she wanted? Did he have a conflict of interest? Was it going to make his life messy? Was he just a bum who hated old widows and wanted them to go away? Why did he finally relent? And ultimately, was it the right decision? The first thing I find interesting is that this woman knew full well the judge's reputation. Everybody knew it. Now, I do not know details about the legal system in first century Palestine. Okay, that is not my bailiwick, right? But I don't know, could she have approached another judge, or was she stuck under his jurisdiction in the matter? If she had the courage to face off with the guy repeatedly, why didn't she just make her own justice and settle it on her own? In its own way, she recognized the validity of the legal system, even with its possibility of corruption. In an age like our own, we have a profound lack of trust in many of our institutions and our leaders. That's true for our workplaces, our government, our church, especially the church. And sometimes even our own spouses and families. The widow, however, knowing all of this, still goes to the judge. Was it hope against hope that maybe for once the system might work? Or was she just naive and optimistic enough to think that she might actually win him over to her side? Again, the text yields few clues, but Jesus is preparing us as Christians to work within systems that are not always what they should be. Our institutions and our leaders are not always going to live up to even our most reasonable expectations. But the absence of them means anarchy and chaos, and that isn't any better. For all that some people like to portray Christ as a wide-eyed revolutionary, he was also eminently realistic and practical about how his followers would need to navigate this world. You know, there's a reason why he commanded them, be as innocent as doves and cunning as serpents. The cunning doves of the Lord. It sounds like a great band name, doesn't it? The cunning doves of the Lord. need some street smarts to survive in this brutal world, where common sense and prudence go a lot longer way than romantic zeal and fiery moralizing. But there's more. The judge is actually kind of scared of this widow. Her perseverance is evidence not of desperation, but of endurance. It's no secret that the powerful of this world often hate Christians and find us seriously annoying. But often, even when they revile us, they unwittingly demonstrate the truth and influence of what they reject. This week I saw a horrifying video of lines of people at an event coming up before a guy with, and this is no joke, a hairdryer to de-baptize themselves. People fall away from religion and mock it all the time, but there's something peculiarly notable about the fact that people want to use a hairdryer to symbolically remove the waters of baptism and its salvific effects. It just highlights that Jesus still haunts their minds and souls, and the devil as well. I often find it strange how people constantly talk about how the church is obsessed with fill in the blank with whatever they think the church is obsessed with, when in reality they're the ones who seem to not be able to think about anything else. So the mere fact that the church has a different opinion, well, it scares them. So they have to do whatever they can to stamp it out. Atheists don't believe there is a God, but they spend more time trying to prove there's not a God than Christians do in worshiping Him. Let me say that again. Atheists don't believe that there's a God, but they spend more time trying to prove there is not a God than Christians do in worshiping Him. Our Protestant brothers and sisters have nothing to unite them at all except to say that they're not Catholics. And all that does is just highlight the unity of the church, even with its more than fair share of corrupt judges and prelates and people, a unity that keeps going, no matter how long these protests go. I think as Catholic Christians, we don't want people to be afraid of us, but fear is indeed what happens when the human person is faced with the spiritual reality of their own untruth. At any rate, the widow stays within the system, knowing its obvious flaws, and goes to the person who can render a just judgment and doesn't stop until it's done. Our Lord is telling us something about the power of assiduous prayer. Now, don't get me wrong. The intensity or the frequency of our prayer does not change God's mind. But He often wants us to pray with fervor because that shapes and changes us to fulfill the will of God in our lives or to accept it. I suppose that the widow could have gone all vigilante justice and just gone out and shot the person she thought did her wrong. That's one way to end a dispute, I suppose. But she does not appear to have had recourse to violence. She trusts the untrustworthy judge to do his job. What more then should we trust the ultimate trustworthy judge of all? We're tempted to trust in our own skill or force or arts of persuasion in getting things done. Will God not then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? When we fight for justice with worldly weapons, we get worldly results, namely, a mixed bag. When we fight for justice with trust in divine providence and commitment to deep prayer of intercession over people, places, things, and situations of concern, we get heavenly results. Namely, what God wants in his time and in his way. In a sense, the church is the poor widow. She is often without security or justice in this world. The judge, however, is the just one. And we know that our prayer and confidence can provide eternal happiness where this world isn't designed to provide anything other than what is destined to pass away. Call out to him day and night. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with or how you've been wronged. Let God do the fighting for you. And together you'll be able to rest in the knowledge that his will is ultimately the best.